This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Earlier this year, four members of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission resigned, citing frustrations with reduced powers for the commission and a lack of communication with the mayor's office. The commission has been seeing more complaints of discrimination in housing, but there's been disagreement about how these complaints should be handled. Joining us now to talk about these issues are former Human Rights Commission Chair Shondell Spivey, former Commissioner Elizabeth Digby Britton, current Commissioner Julie McDermott, and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. So I want to start by asking you, Shondell, you know, why did you resign from the commission?
For me, I resigned simply because for a long time I've been a part of various diversity commissions and or committees within different entities throughout the city. And we always have this kind of hope of we build this committee, we build this commission, something's going to change. And then when it starts moving towards change, then all of a sudden you realize the lack of power that you might have to be able to make those changes that you want to see happen. And I think for me it was just kind of like, okay, I'm out. You know, like, since we don't really have the authority to do what we need to do or to make the statements that we need to make, I'd rather put my time and energy somewhere else.
Elizabeth, I would ask you the same question. You know, when did these frustrations kind of start for you?
We've been at our meetings met with a lot of disrespect from City Hall staff at various meetings when we were trying to get information, trying to get our agenda published, and the way we were spoken to repeatedly by various members of the city was kind of the start of the frustration. And then when we're starting to get complaints about the city housing, and then being met with an ordinance that we didn't know about and found out only through a vague memo from the city attorney, that really kind of pushed it over the edge. And then when one of our committee members were replaced when her time was up, instead of getting a renewal, that was really the straw that broke, I think, a lot of us. Because it was really unclear why she was being replaced. She'd been on the committee for about 5 years. To our knowledge, there's no term limits, so her replacement, and we all mesh very well as a team. We all come from different communities that we represent and live in, and each of us are very strong in our knowledge, and taking one of us away really impacts our ability to work as a team. So really, that was the end for me.
Shondell, how did this conversation come about of, you know, having all four members choose to resign together?
I think it, you know, like Elizabeth is saying, we jointly felt, you know, it was just time. It was time. We had been on there 3 years, and we started off strong. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the work that the Human Rights Commission did in the beginning was amazing. Like, we were making strides. I think what really started showing the lack of power and some of the frustrations was around when, I guess I would say, when the housing complaints started coming in, specifically from the La Crosse Housing Authority. But then also when there were other entities where we were getting complaints and we were told, well, you don't have jurisdiction over those folks, you can't do anything with that. And so there was other moments where the commission as a group decided that they wanted to write a letter of support, and we were kind of told, no, you shouldn't do that, you know. And it was just this constant, like, well, you can't do, you can't do, you can't do. And so I think jointly we just felt like, well, what can we do? And if we can't do anything, why do we exist? And we wanted to go beyond just creating, like, spaces for people to talk. Like, we did listening sessions and things like that, and we brought in presenters. But we wanted to go beyond that. We wanted to really make change in the community around discrimination and policy and so on and so forth, and that wasn't happening, so.
In your letter that you released as part of your resignation, you know, there were several issues identified, including a lack of trust in the system and a lack of communication with the mayor's office specifically and other city staff. Elizabeth, can you explain what system you're referring to?
Well, if you understand how the City Housing Authority is set up, too, there's a board for the City Housing Authority as well, and that's appointed by the mayor. And a lot of there's one member on there that's been on there since 1974. And so, you know, if you think there should be some term limits to something, that would certainly be one. And so when we're trying to improve situations and trying to have meetings and conversations and issues are being brought up about how things are being run and the lack of ability to get to applications and staff, and then nothing's really being addressed with that, you know, you get really frustrated. Also, our listening sessions, we would compile the data, the comments, and I don't know that City Hall ever really looked at any of the suggestions on there because, to my knowledge, nothing's been changed or really addressed within the different communities. And that's been some of the feedback we've been getting, too, after resigning, is a lot of our communities are like, yeah, whatever happened, we shared all that information and, you know, City didn't really seem to do anything with it because we didn't have the power to do much more than the listening session. So, yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything.
I think the only thing I would add is, so when we talk about systems, it's important to understand that many of us on that commission represents marginalized communities. And so when we're talking about the entire system and losing trust in the system, when you're coming from marginalized communities, you already have a lack of trust in the system. And the system being the government or any other powerful entity that has a say over what people do. You get what I'm saying? And so that lack of trust only grows as we begin to see that progress isn't going to happen.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about issues within La Crosse's Human Rights Commission and what they mean for the future of the group. We're here with former commissioners Shondell Spivey and Elizabeth Digby Britton, current commissioner Julie McDermott, and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. Mayor Cabot, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond to some of these issues that we've heard so far, specifically frustrations with the commission not being able to act on some of these issues, and also these issues with lack of communication.
Well, I would thank you. I would just start off by agreeing with the notion of the great progress that the Human Rights Commission has made. It's one of those groups that I was involved with reforming from the old Equal Opportunities Commission, and for many, many years, the old EEOC, and then there was the Anti-Racism Task Force. They did not meet. They were pretty much non-entities. And so, the goal really with the Human Rights Commission, the formation of it, was to do a number of things, and that was to provide education to the community. It was to hold the listening sessions, as Elizabeth and Shondell had mentioned. It was also to deal with complaints when there were complaints about or any type of issues with discrimination, not only in housing but also in public facilities or accommodations. So I think overall, I'm still very hopeful and feel very positive about the work that has been done and going forward with the Human Rights Commission. I do understand, and at times I also share citizens' frustrations about the sort of the time it takes to make changes, and that's something that I struggle with every day, because there are it doesn't seem like things happen fast enough at times, especially when you identify a problem. I know that when I was at the December Human Rights Commission meeting, they expressed a number of those issues. And, I guess in my mind, the city takes those very seriously. And so things like the providing a budget for investigating complaints and doing those types of things. Just recently we reallocated some monies, $5,000, so that we could do training and communication with the commission members to better understand the process and better understand that whole sort of complaint from the beginning to the end. And then the other thing that we're doing is we are having our legal department, and they're working with actually another firm, an outside firm, to go through our human rights ordinance and to better identify the complaint process itself and just what can be done. As Shondell and Elizabeth both mentioned, the lack of authority and the feeling like, well, once there's been something identified as a problem, then what happens next? And that has not been clear, and that goes way back to the old EEOC, the one or two complaints that they dealt with. I don't know that there was really ever a good resolution, and that's, I'll take responsibility for that. When we reformed the Human Rights Commission back in 2015, that's something that should have been crystal clear as much as possible, and so we're doing that now.
So do you feel like the commission needs to have more authority to act on these issues?
Well, I think the first step is to just understand what the authority is, right? So when it comes to, and just to be clear, we've got a couple of different categories of housing. So we have obviously what I think has caused most of the consternation has been the La Crosse Housing Authority, which is a federal HUD, entity. They basically receive their funding from the federal government, and they provide the public housing here in the city of La Crosse. And I think overall they do a very good job with the challenges that they have. I mean, obviously there's room for improvement, and we've had conversations about some of the very issues that have been raised regarding, again, just applications and availability and customer service and all that. You also have then the city programs and those types of housing that the city provides itself. So we're still quote unquote city, but it's different than La Crosse Housing Authority. And then you have the private housing, and to try to simplify it, those three areas, the ordinance talked about Human Rights Commission addressing complaints within all of those entities, right? Except for the city. And the city was exempted from the Human Rights Commission dealing with that, because any complaint for a city housing issue would go directly to the state of Wisconsin. As we were starting to see more complaints come forward, I think it became very clear when I was talking with legal staff and others that there was a challenge as far as just knowing the appropriate steps and the appropriate process. So the suggestion with the ordinance was to try to make the La Crosse Housing Authority, because of the federal rules and everything else, to make that consistent and to go directly to the state, whether it was the Equal Rights Division or to the federal government itself, to HUD, and to still have the Human Rights Commission deal with the private housing within the city, the 20-some thousand units of private housing. So, I will take responsibility that, how that ordinance was put together, how that was introduced at the council level was not, probably in retrospect the best way, but it's like everything else. You're trying to address problems and you're trying to, come up with solutions. And so we did have a conversation in December. We had a subsequent follow-up meeting with a couple of the commission members in my office to talk about, okay, where do we go from here? How do we try to, make changes to the ordinance and make changes to the process so that the Human Rights Commission can implement positive change?
I want to return to talking about what issues are happening with the Housing Authority in a moment. But I just wonder, I want to hear from Julie. As a current commissioner coming on in March, what are your thoughts on how the commission moves forward? Are you concerned at all with some of these issues that have been raised by former commissioners? And what do you hope to see kind of happen?
That's a big question. I started attending Human Rights Commission meetings over a year ago, and a group of us brought to the commission for the first time in a long time, the idea that there were complaints out there and we were struggling as service providers to find a way to get satisfaction for the people that we work with and to get them in housing at the same time. So, it's been great to watch the commission address. I mean, they grabbed onto it immediately and started paying attention to it. It was as far as I know, it was a standing agenda item for every single meeting pretty much thereafter, after the first meeting that we attended, which was really wonderful to have a forum to go and to be able to talk about these things and say, we have an issue, we need to do something as a community about it. So that was really wonderful. My role changed. I actually switched jobs and took the new position as the project manager for the collaborative in August, for the collaborative to end homelessness. And so it's even more important to me now to make sure that people have a place to go locally to file complaints and have their voices be heard and to make systems changes that will get people into sustainable, affordable housing. So when it started to sort of spiral out of control a little bit towards the end of the year, it was very disappointing to watch that happen. And I don't think I was privy to all of the issues that were happening, but I had heard about the ordinance, and I definitely expressed that I was not in favor of any type of ordinance that would restrict the Human Rights Commission from being able to investigate complaints locally. That's a problem for people locally. When people are in a housing crunch, if they're being evicted from the housing authority or any other place wrongfully because of discrimination, they have two problems. One is to try and do something about facing the discrimination, filing a complaint, but the other is to face that housing crisis. They could be homeless. They could be on the street. They could end up doubled up with somebody, and in some cases, doubled up is an even more dangerous situation for people than being on the street or in shelter. So people don't often then, when you tell them, now you have to go to the state or now you have to go to HUD and follow through with this gigantic process that's far away from you, you can't handle this locally, they usually skip the complaint in favor of handling their housing crisis. So I didn't want to see that happen. I attended the meeting in December where I saw all the anger that the commissioners had with the mayor. I absolutely agreed with them. I have a lot of respect for Elizabeth, Shondell, Will, and Rose. I think it took a lot of guts to say the things they said at the December meeting. I was happy that the mayor attended. Actually, Jane Alberts from the Housing Authority attended as well. Her lawyer attended. There were multiple city officials in attendance, and I was glad everybody was there for the conversation. That's what I love about the collaborative, is that we collaborate and we bring everybody to the table to try and find solutions to problems. And that's what I had hoped for out of that meeting in December. And I think I said as much to the group. I said, you have all the major players here with you right now. Let's talk about doing something. Since I started with the collaborative last fall, we worked on a sprint around families. We actually invited Jane Alberts to be on our leadership team. She had been invited previously to work with the collaborative, and I, for various reasons, was not able to attend or simply didn't know how she could be involved. But I think that a lot of the issues that were brought up at the Human Rights Commission meetings, that things were being talked about, that there were problems, I think that was a big part of her decision to jump in and finally get involved, be more actively involved with the collaborative. So I was happy. I saw a change there, that we were finally going to make some systems changes. The Housing Authority is going to allow the applications outside of their office. That's a big change. And I think that happened because of the conversations that were happening at the Human Rights Commission. So I was very excited to get the news. I think it was actually early February. I got the news that the mayor had appointed me to the commission. I was excited to be working alongside of these advocates that I respect very much. I did not know about the resignation that was coming. I was in attendance at the meeting that evening, though I wasn't an active commissioner at that point. So I was very surprised by their statement, and I have all the respect in the world for them for having made that strong of a statement. That takes a huge amount of conviction to make a statement like that. And I think it's then what propelled Jackie Marcoux and I, who are current commissioners, to go to the mayor and say, hey, we really need to do something about this. We had a meeting afterwards to talk about how we're going to regroup, like the mayor said, understand our process better for investigating complaints and doing something about them, educating our community members about what it is we can do, because I do have concerns when people file complaints. I think, you know, sometimes they have thoughts that there's going to be a large repercussion or compensation at the end. And as a commission, we may not be able to do that. I want to make sure people understand all the different options available to them from making a complaint from local to the ERD to, you know, HUD itself. And then I want the commission to have its teeth back and to be able to do something about complaints that are filed locally. And I do feel like the mayor is on board with doing that with us.
That's Julie McDermid, current member of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, here with us today to talk about increase in discrimination complaints in the city and frustrations that led several commission members to resign. Also joining us are former Commissioner Shondell Spivey and Elizabeth Digby Britton and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. I want to talk more about next steps for the commission later in the show, but let's return now to this issue with the Housing Authority in La Crosse. Shondell, can you fill us in on kind of, you know, what have we been hearing as far as complaints about discrimination?
Well, I mean, so first got to understand that a lot of the commissioners are pretty involved individuals in the community. And I mean, like, as leaders in their realms or just in general social justice advocates and so on and so forth. I know for myself personally, even before issues were brought to the commission, I was already hearing issues about the City of La Crosse Housing Authority, from access to applications to denial to folks that were living in housing that had issues and felt that they had been discriminated against or had issues. So when Julia brought the issues to the Human Rights Commission, we already kind of had, you know, previous knowledge of like, okay, there might be some issues, but no one's ever brought them forth. So then she brings it forth. We take it very seriously. In fact, we had a meeting where literally standing room of folks that had issues and complaints about what was going on in the City of La Crosse Housing Authority. So while, yep, I would want to be happy that they finally decided to say, well, you can apply outside of our office hours, I think that's baby steps. I think that's very minute compared to the changes that need to happen within the City of La Crosse Housing Authority, which is also a part of my issue when we put forth a piece of legislation that then takes away entities being able to hold them accountable for their actions and the things that they've been doing. It's 2018, and we're still operating in office as if it's 1970, 1960. That doesn't make sense to me. So access barriers, issues around feeling targeted by the Housing Authority officials or administrators. There were issues around things not being properly taken care of after hearing complaints and so on and so forth, not necessarily having the proper channels to be able to navigate through issues or concerns with the folks where they were living. What else? That's just a little bit of stuff that I can remember, but I mean, I'm sure there's more, so.
Yeah, and Elizabeth, I mean, how many formal complaints did the commission then see kind of come forward on this housing authority issues, and kind of what steps were taken to try to address them?
We received two formal complaints, but as once they filed their complaints, they were continued to be targeted. So to get people to step forward and file anything else is going to be very difficult. I don't think, though, I'm going to go back to the comment about how Jane is finally allowing applications out of the building. It's in their handbook. It's their policy that those applications are supposed to be allowed out of the building. So we shouldn't be applauding her for doing something that's in her handbook and she should have been doing all along. We need to make that very clear that, you know, that's why there's a federal handbook or guide where they're supposed to be following. So, you know, I shouldn't get a pat on the back because I did what I'm supposed to do in my job every day. But yeah, I think going back to the commission, it has taken a lot of hits now too, in terms of credibility moving forward, that I would like to think that people will come forward, but seeing all the frustrations that, from people who have tried to come in and get support and then being told, no, we can't do that. I don't know that too many communities are going to have a lot of faith in the new commissioners that are going to be put on there. So I don't know what the future will be. With that, I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Mayor Cabot, is this an issue, these issues with the housing authority and, you know, targeting individuals who raise complaints, you know, is this something that the city has known about or tried to address?
Well, we've heard, you know, I'll get the contacts in the mayor's office about problems, individual problems with people in the housing authority, and we have brought all of those, you know, to the attention of the housing authority and talked with them about how to address them and just what's been going on. So I do again feel like whenever there's a complaint that has been brought to the mayor and to the mayor's office, we have tried to be very responsive and get those directly to the housing authority. We have had conversations about the process improvements and customer service improvements that have been mentioned, whether it's the applications or being more involved with the collaborative to end homelessness. I mean, the housing authority was very helpful with a project that's going up on the north side to obtain 15 vouchers through the Veterans Administration to help house homeless veterans. So in my mind, you know, every time we have gone to the housing authority with an issue or with a question, they have been responsive. They don't always resolve them perhaps the way that I think they should be resolved, but they are an independent organization, and they have, they do what I'm sure they feel is best. It is a little bit, I guess, odd because the housing authority isn't here necessarily to respond directly. I do feel like part of the challenge that we have with the Human Rights Commission is the quasi-judicial nature that body has to operate. So on the one hand, you know, the education and hosting community events and really trying to help raise awareness is very important, and that's something that they have done, and I know that will continue to do very well. And then sort of on the flip side, you have the commissioners that have to be very much objective and have to look at the merits and the information for a complaint to look if there's probable cause and then if there's, you know, kind of the next steps in that investigation piece. So the challenge with being a commission member on the Human Rights Commission is great. I mean, they have to be advocates on one hand, but then on the other hand, they also have to be like a judge almost and be very objective. And so that's why I go back to what I had said earlier in working with our legal department and getting some outside counsel to help us to better define the role of the commissioners, the process for the public, and to then be able to share the expectations with folks. You know, that that they're, when complaints are brought forward, that they, here's the process to address them, and then here's what, you know, can and should happen if there you know, if discrimination is found. So it's a challenge, and it's complex, and you're dealing with people, you're dealing with all of those, you know, just all of those elements, and there's just not a straightforward answer in many cases. But I guess in my mind, I found the housing authority to be responsive. There's room to grow and room to improve, I'm sure. And if Jane Alberts was here, she would say that too. But every time we've tried to address an issue, they've responded to our questions.
Newsmakers did invite a representative from the La Crosse Housing Authority to participate in today's conversation, but they declined. Julie, I want to ask you, hearing about this issue of losing trust within the community, of community members feeling that they don't want to bring their complaints to the commission because they might be worried about being targeted. They feel like there won't be really an end result. I wonder if that's going to be a big hurdle for you and your other commissioners moving forward.
Sure. And actually, when I first started attending the Human Rights Commission meetings, one of my biggest complaints was the fact that even with a local option through the Human Rights Commission, to file a complaint, I believe, currently you have to go to the town clerk to do so. And that's intimidating. A lot of people think that the City Housing Authority is somehow a government operation, is under the direction of our city government, which it is to some extent, in that the mayor appoints the board, but they believe that they're working together. So why would you go to an entity that you believe is working with the person you have a complaint about to file a complaint? Second, I don't know if you've read the ordinance, but the ordinance as it's written, if you were to go and ask the town clerk for the paperwork, it's all in legalese. And a lot of people, especially really stressed out people in a housing crisis, would struggle to read that. And so I brought that up at one of the commission meetings, and actually when Fabio Burgos was still on the commission, they had talked about rewriting that in sort of more plain language so people could understand it a lot easier, get some education out there, some brochures or something. The commission actually had already started doing that. I believe an intern had come around even to the agency I formerly worked at to be able to educate advocates about how to file a complaint. So there's barriers all along the process, and I'm sure, you know, to find out that the local commission may not be able to get the compensation that you feel you deserve, whether it's a big fine or, even personal compensation for your grief. There's lots of barriers all along the way, and that's why I feel like there's a big component of education here, just like the mayor said, is making sure that all the commission members are on board with what our responsibilities are, what our process is, making sure that we continue ongoing education within the community. We actually just a couple weeks ago had a really successful community fair housing advocacy training event. This wasn't just fair housing law. We had advocates from the Metro Milwaukee Fair Housing Council and Bob Henderson from Legal Action come and train over 70 advocates throughout our community on what discrimination is, what it looks like, and how we can do something about it when we have clients that are experiencing it. So doing that ongoing education with the community, getting those advocates trained to be able to recognize and help somebody through the process. And then again, you know, educating community members. What are your options? You know, what are you expecting personally to happen from your complaint, and how you can go through it, and how you can access somebody to walk with you through that complaint? I think that's really important. I just, not that I want to do tit for tat, but I wanted to make a point. I think Elizabeth's point is really important about not applauding people for doing something that they should be doing. And I absolutely agree. I think that, I mean, we've done a lot of applause for the Housing Authority for those applications coming out of the building. She's absolutely correct that it is in the manual that they should be allowed out. Actually, I think their manual says something to the extent of if you have a disability that prevents you from going into the Housing Authority or if you live outside the area that they will mail it to you. So they should be abiding by that. I guess what I'm applauding is her willingness to come to the table in the face of a lot of adversity. There were a lot of complaints. The commission, there were a lot of discussions at the commission about discrimination complaints, and yet she still came to the table and offered to make that change. I am absolutely going to continue advocacy for further changes. I would love to see the application out the doors, even without the restrictions that are on it now. Right now, it's being allowed out of the doors into the hands of service agencies that will assist people in filing applications. I would love to see it opened up even further. But beyond that, I mean, Jane and the Housing Authority, they've done a lot of great things. As they've learned more about the collaborative, they've also been willing to give my office a call. I've gotten a couple emails now from their occupancy supervisor who has said, I've got somebody that we're about to evict. There's lots of stuff going on here. Can you send an outreach worker? Can you send somebody to talk with this person that we can figure this out? So to me, it's moving in the right direction. And I'm just like you, Shondell. I want to see change, and I want to see it today. We are living in 2018. So some of these things we shouldn't be experiencing. But I do know from other efforts that I've worked on as an advocate that change and big systems change like this is sometimes slow. So what I applaud is not necessarily that they're letting the applications out of the office. What I applaud is that they're willing to begin to start making changes overall.
Julie McDermott is a member of La Crosse's Human Rights Commission. She's here with us today to talk about problems the Human Rights Commission has been experiencing. She's joined by former Commissioner Shondell Spivey and Elizabeth Digby Britton and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the future of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about problems within the La Crosse Human Rights Commission. Earlier this year, more than half of the commission, 4 members, resigned. They said a lack of ability to act on social justice and diversity issues and communication problems with the mayor's office prompted them to walk away. Joining us now to talk about what that means for the future of the commission are former Human Rights Commission Chair Shondell Spivey, former Commissioner Elizabeth Digby Britton, current Commissioner Julie McDermott, and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. Before we talk about the future of the commission, I just want to touch on one thing that we started to talk about in the last half of the program. The commission's role in educating people about diversity issues and discrimination issues. And Shondell, you have said that you think it should be city staff, not the Human Rights Commission, providing education and events to kind of raise awareness about these programs. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, why you feel like that should be coming from city staff.
So let me clarify, because I don't think it should just be city staff and that's it. What I'm saying is that the city also has to take a huge role in what it looks like to reach out to marginalized and diverse communities. It can't just come from the Human Rights Commission. And I think that, and not saying that like all entities haven't done that, what I am saying is that the city needs to see more of it, right? Those communities need to see more of it. They need to understand and know that when they walk into City Hall, or not even when they walk into City Hall, just the mere fact that there are city advocates and city leaders that are willing to go into those communities, and meet and talk with those people about whatever their issues or concerns is, or help them through processes, whether it's dealing with housing or whether it's dealing with parks or whether it's dealing with whatever, right? But being able to be accessible to that.
Do you feel like that's happening right now? It sounds like maybe not.
I wouldn't say it's not happening. I'm just saying we need more of it.
What steps do you think would really make a difference in this area?
So, again, I am not one for, like, the small baby steps, right? Like, I'm not one for let's get happy that, you know, we named a park after a black man. No offense, but that's just not me. What I'm happy about is when we transform systems and transform access, transform policy, and everything else that needs to be transformed. Not saying it's going to happen overnight, but it needs to happen in such a way that people feel it. And they know that this city, when you walk into the city of La Crosse, it's welcoming and open to all people, right? And that everybody has a right to feel at home in this city. But I can say right now, that's not the case, right? Based on the folks that I talk to, based on my experiences, I don't believe that's the case. And I think that that's something we need to change, right? Like, so in my mind, I say it as we should be looking at it from the standpoint that La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, could be the exemplar city of what it looks like to truly be inclusive, to truly be accessible, and to truly be accepting of all people. If we take it from that framework, then a lot of the policies, a lot of actions and customer service, whatever you want to look at across the board, from the city level to the county level, would have to change.
Elizabeth, I want to ask you the same question. You know, what changes or steps do you think could be taken to really address this issue?
Well, I think one of the biggest things would be having a commission, a human rights commission, is great for a showpiece. And that's what it started to feel like. We were a horse and pony show, just putting on events. I think the mayor attended two of our events. And there weren't really a whole lot of city representation in our meetings. So, yeah, we were putting it on, but the knowledge wasn't getting to the city employees. It wasn't getting to the people who really need the information. That if the city really wants to move forward and look inclusive, there should be something else done on our city council. Our city council is predominantly white male. And whether that be another position for a person of color, because it's going to be very hard in this city to be elected in a city council position as a person of color. So whether then there be somebody that can sit on that city council, or that there be a group of individuals that can meet with the mayor individually, so that we can move forward, because the commission, what was coming forth, like I said, our communities have not seen results, and they've been commenting on that. And so we need a better voice directly to the mayor and not through city planning and the notes, and no one reads our notes and kind of a thing. So I would say that would be one great thing. There are also cities that have whole departments devoted to diversity, not just a commission. So that would be another great thing to see happen, that somebody be employed directly by the city to do work like that.
One of the other things I think that we need to address is this kind of notion that the commissioners didn't necessarily know what they were supposed to be doing, right? I have to address that because I've seen it in the newspaper, somewhat hearing the undertones of it today. We did what we knew, we did the process and everything that we were told, right? Based off the policy that we have, all those things, we did what we knew how to do, right? And when we found issues, we addressed those issues. When we went out to advocate and teach, we went out to advocate and teach. I think the problem then became along this line of, well, if you're advocating and teaching, then you must recuse yourself, right? There and so many other complications that would come in, I don't know, I would say just very abruptly, right? Like, we're moving. Wait a minute. You can't do this, or you have to address this. We're moving. Nope, wait a minute, we gotta address this. And so, like, this constant notion of, like, we didn't know what we were doing, or we wasn't taking, I guess no one said we weren't taking our job seriously, but it sounds like that's what it sounds like, is that, like, we weren't taking our job seriously, we couldn't be objective. And I disagree with all that, because at the end of the day, our main job was to advocate for our communities. And we do that on a daily basis anyway. So putting us on a Human Rights Commission only enhanced the ability for us to be able to do that. So when we advocate for our communities, we advocate, and we advocate hard. And to some degree, yep, sometimes we end up taking things like this personally, right? So even when I'm thinking about after the fact that we walked out, I have folks in my community that look like me on split sides. There were some folks that were like, Shundell, why did you do that? You took our voice off of the commission. But then I also had people that were like, Shundell, thank you for doing that because you took a stance because we wasn't seeing what was happening. I also had folks that said, man, Shundell, I wish I would have known what you was going through so that I could have stepped up and helped. And so we get it on all fronts. And so, like, I find it insulting to kind of be like, oh, well, you know, they just didn't know what they were doing. They were confused. No, that's bull, so.
That's Shundell Spivey, former chair of the La Crosse Human Rights Commission, here with us today to talk about problems that the commission was facing and how the city moves forward. Also joining us is former Commissioner Elizabeth Digby Britton, current Commissioner Julie McDermott, and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Mayor Cabot, in light of the issues we've been hearing about today, what changes, if any, do you plan to make moving forward?
Well, I think these are all, there's a lot of change, I believe, that has to take place. I think the issues of having a body that does education and raising awareness and then also has to act in a judicial manner and deal with, complaints, maybe there needs to be more than one commission. Maybe some of those duties have to be handled in a different way. I do think that the issues that are being identified, those are all part of what you discover as you hold meetings and go through process. I think the progress that we've made in the last several years has been significant, because I would just remind folks that 5 years ago, none of this was happening. I mean, in the last 5 years, we've built more affordable housing and have housed more homeless people and have done more community building than before that. And I'm very proud of our community for doing that. But I agree. I think there are times when it just, the change and some of those institutional systems, they're very, the status quo is very easy. To change that is very difficult. So I think that's the commissioners and former commissioners are touching on that. So in my mind, that's, the steps, I guess, that I see is, going through the review of our ordinance and identifying, as was mentioned earlier, that the commissioners had talked about, trying to look at language and look at process and look at clarity. I think that's a very important step. I think the issues of, again, the complaint process itself and just what the commission has authority to do, and then making that clear so that when there are complaints and we do find discrimination, that there is a meaningful resolution of that and people are held accountable and there are changes. I mean, I think that's very important. I think the other parts that I would suggest that we're continuing to work on are trying to make the city organization, so the city hall, if you will, more representative of our larger community. And I would take, again, maybe just a little bit of a difference. I do think that the work of the HRC and groups like the Greater La Crosse Diversity Council have made an impact, and there that we have taken the recommendations seriously, the strategic plans and the notes and the conversations, and have implemented those. I know that our, for example, our police department has gone through a number of trainings to deal with diversity issues and to have a better idea of the cultural diversity and how to deal with cultural competency issues. So that's one example. I know that our staff or department heads have done those trainings as well. So I think it's all part of it. There isn't just one simple solution. It's a multifaceted issue, and it's complex. And again, you're dealing with people, and as Shondell mentioned earlier, even folks that he knows well come down on multiple sides of the issue. So it's not an easy thing, but it's also the city, at least while I'm still mayor, is firmly committed to this. And I do believe, and I would echo what had been said earlier, I do think La Crosse can be that model and can be a place where everyone, no matter their background or just who they are, but everyone feels welcome and embraced here in this community. And we do have work to do. We've got a ways to go, but I am proud of the steps that we've taken. And I think the Human Rights Commission has identified really kind of what those next steps are. And even through some of the turmoil with the resignations and all that, we will get through that. And with every situation, you learn and grow from it.
We've been talking with La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot, former Human Rights Commission Chair Shondell Spivey, former Commissioner Elizabeth Digby Britton, and current Commissioner Julie McDermid about the future of the Human Rights Commission after more than half of the commission members resigned earlier this year. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.